Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast, and we have a special episode today. We're doing another top five, and this week we are diving into the career of John Hughes. So last week on the podcast, we were joined by Chris Clues. Chris is the author of the book, What 80s Pop Culture Teaches Us About Today's Workplace. We've got Chris on the show. We've got JD. JD, how are you today?
Miserable as hell. I hate everything. Ugh.
Oh, very nice.
No, I'm doing fantastic.
Oh,
I'm okay. In a Christopher Walken mood. Oh, it's good.
I love that. All right, Chris, welcome back to the show, man.
Thanks, guys. I'm very, very happy to be back. This is awesome.
Yeah, good. And if you guys haven't yet, go back into our last episode, Talking 80s with Chris Clues, and take a listen to that podcast. This will be a little bit of a shorter episode. We like to keep these, short and sweet, get you from the from your car to work, 20-30 minutes, and keep you entertained here. So here's the rules to the game. Is you can pick any John Hughes movie that you want, whether he wrote or directed it. We will compare list and, maybe rip on each other if we don't like the other's choice. It's all fair game. JD, I'm going to start with you. Chris, I'll go second with you, and then I'll bring up the rear end here. JD, what do you have, number five pick, for your favorite John Hughes movie?
So I'm gonna be the first one to say this. This is extremely difficult. To rate John Hughes movies is to rate dollar bills. You want them all.
Right.
Yeah. Or maybe alcohol drinks.
Well, maybe not all of them. We'll keep going, though.
It's difficult to say that any one is better or worse than the other. Obviously, the Beethoven series excluded. Sorry if I step on your toes, Chris.
That's all right.
I'm going to launch us off, and I'm going to say Mr. Mom.
Okay. And why is Mr. Mom on your list?
Michael Keaton, fantastic. It's like the epitome of the 80s. He loses his high-powered job and has to become Mr. Mom. It's the perfect movie for the perfect time, and it holds up over time. I love Mr. Mom. It's hilarious. I wish John Hughes wrote Multiplicity.
I had a Whoopi at one time.
There you go. And then, Christopher Lloyd, Jeffrey Tambor. It's got a very good cast for Mr. Mom. I will tell you this. Mr. Mom is not going to be on my list. I'm almost a little offended you put it on yours, JD, but I'll let it slide.
Oh! officer, he's making a fool of himself over here.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll keep chugging along. Chris, what do you have at number five for your favorite John Hughes movie?
So, wow. Now I'm in the same predicament of how do I pick a top five here? Oh, I can tell you, since JD, you went with it's not going to be Beethoven, it will not be Curly Sue. So I think, for number five, I'm going to have to go Uncle Buck.
Wow. Okay. I love that choice. I don't know if I would have put it at five, but why do you have it at number five for you, Chris?
I think John Candy is one of my favorites of all time. We've talked about that on the previous podcast, and I just love everything about John Candy. For me, though, I look at some of the other movies, the other John Hughes movies, and they had a lot more of an influence on my life in general, because growing up in the 80s and being in my formative years, there's a handful of movies that really had a huge influence on my life. So I think that's why I put that at number five.
Okay. Solid choice. Solid choice. I will tell you this. It is on my list. It's just higher.
Okay.
My number five pick, and this was a movie that he wrote but did not direct, and we're talking some John Candy here. We're also talking some Dan Aykroyd. It's The Great Outdoors from 1988. I love this movie. It's a movie that I used to watch all the time with my grandpa. It was a movie we rented. It seems like every other time I went to stay at their house, we would rent this movie from the video store. We'd bring it back. We'd eat a pizza, and we'd laugh to some Chet Ripley and Roman Craig. And I just love the movie, the back and forth between those two, and then just the supporting cast. The young actors do a great job. The two wives are awesome. The Wally, Robert Prosky. We just talked about him and Mrs. Doubtfire a couple weeks back. I think he's awesome too as the bell guy.
It's not in my top five, okay. But it's just outside.
Just outside, okay.
Side.
We will give a couple, you know, movies that didn't make the list, the cut list at the end here, but okay. JD, what do you got?
It's tough, and I don't want to spoil my list. All I'll say is I love The Great Outdoors. So good. And to me, it's a spiritual prequel to Tommy Boy.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we're moving on to number four. JD, what movie do you have at the number four spot?
I think that, audience, you will recognize that I tend to pick some of the spoiled blackberries from the vine. Not spoiled, because they're not bad. I'm a little weird with my choices. And I'm going to go ahead and say Weird Science.
I don't think that's weird at all.
We're talking John Hughes movies. It's like saying a ham sandwich is better than a turkey sandwich. They're all good.
I love it.
I thought you were going to go with like Baby's Day Out, and I was going to bust if you would have said that.
Yeah, Weird Science. I love Weird Science. I love the TV show. What we got, Bill Pullman or Paxton, who knows the difference between the two men.
I love that movie.
It's fantastic, and I love the way that the movie is great on its own, and then the TV show, in my opinion, elevates what they created and what John Hughes did, and then you watch the TV show and you go back and watch the movie, and you're just like, it's like this endless loop of fantastic. I love it.
And it's got Robert Downey Jr.
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
a very young, very pre-drug phased Robert Downey Jr. Yeah, that's a great movie at number four. I like that choice. All right, Chris, what do you have at number four?
He went from Weird Science to Lesson Zero. From I've got my, right. I mean, he was in Lesson Zero, so I think that was like, yeah. So, wow. Okay, so number four. Now I'm just realizing that I have six in my top five. So this is going to be a problem. the math isn't working. Because when you said Weird Science, I just realized I have six in my five. For number four, I am going to have to go with I'm gonna have to go 16 Candles, number four.
Okay.
A lot of reasons why, but everything Anthony Michael Hall I would say even up to like Edward Scissorhands, Johnny B. Goode, not so much, but everything Anthony Michael Hall at that time was phenomenal. I mean, he was it, and he was awesome. And then, of course, you have the cameo but one of his first, you know, real roles, John Cusack, playing one of the, I'm not even sure what his character's name was in the movie, but he has the great line about, you know, black and white would just capture the moment, and it's one of my favorite scenes. Bryce was his name.
Yeah. Yes. I also love Long Duk Dong in this movie. He's an underrated character for 16 Candles. Yeah, I love that choice. Yeah, Anthony Michael Hall, Molly Ringwald. I mean, they were on fire for an entire decade.
Incredible. And then, of course, Jake Ryan ends up, after basically 16 Candles and Vision Quest, leaves Hollywood and now has a very successful furniture making business, I believe.
Very nice. All right, my number four, and I'm going to... I guess I kind of cheat the system here because I definitely have more than five on my list, but I have a good excuse for that because I just put down Vacation, but Vacation covers three different films that he wrote. So it's Vacation, European Vacation, and Christmas Vacation. And I love them all. I don't know if I love them equally. I definitely like Vacation and Christmas Vacation the best. I'm not the biggest fan of European Vacation. I don't know where you guys stand on that one. But yeah, just Clark Griswold at his best. I love when they go to Wally's World, and John Candy's cameo in that is just awesome. And his back and forth with Chevy Chase. I even have a little action figure sitting on my desk of them on the ride.
No way.
He puts the gun up to him. Yeah, it sits right on my desk.
That's amazing. I need to find out where you got that.
Yeah, I think it's actually a Christmas ornament. I just never hung it up. so I just put it flat, so it's got like a little track, like the roller coasters on, and John Candy's taken up 3/4 of the seat. It's actually pretty cool. So yeah, that's my number four pick, is the Vacation franchise. How do you guys feel about that?
I like it. I think you're cheating a little, so I'm going to say that I have 6 in my 5, but but I like it. Yeah, I love it, of course.
All right. It has to be included.
It has to be.
50 yards, Russ.
There we go. So let's move on to number 3. JD, what movie do you have at the number 3 spot?
Again, I don't mean to let you all down.
Oh, no.
Curly Sue.
Oh, God.
No, I'm joking. I'm totally joking. It is not Curly Sue okay. and her Pepsi commercials. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say Ferris Bueller.
Okay.
And I know that Ferris Bueller is probably going to rank higher on your lists. I think it's a fantastic movie. I love the characters. I love everything that Broderick does and brings. I think it's so awesomely condensed. I love the way that John Hughes brings and reps Chicago left and right. Froman, come on, Sausage King.
Froman the Sausage King.
You know, I think it's a great film. And again, ranking John Hughes movies is like being given $6 bills and being like, no, I only want these 5.
It's very tough. Okay. Chris, what do you have for number 3?
Yeah, number 3. So I'm still trying to find a when Cameron was in Egypt's land, let my Cameron go ringtone. If I could find that, man, I'm so happy. For me, number 3 is going to be, and it's painful for me to put this at number 3 because I will literally watch it anytime it's on, but Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is going to be my number 3.
Okay. Love it. Go ahead.
I mean, I could even easily put this at number 1. And I think because just Steve Martin and John Candy, I Steve Martin, John Candy, and John Hughes, you think about that, that is like the holy trifecta when it comes to, you know, the late 80s. That if you put those 3 names on a movie, it would be hard for it not to be great. And Del Griffith is one of my favorite characters in movie history. I never met John Candy, no idea, you know, what he was like off screen, but I just get this feeling that there was so much of him in Del Griffith. And that's what makes it great for me.
Sure. Hey, confession time, Chris. And we talked about this on the podcast when we did Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I did not watch that movie until 2018.
Wow.
I don't know why. I have literally no excuse.
Loved it.
Yeah, well, that's part of the excuse.
Tell me that before I came on the podcast because I might have
You know what was, I actually love the fact that it happened because it was like finding a diamond. I was like, oh my God, here's a movie that I did not watch for whatever reason, just never picked that one out at the video store. And I got to watch it when I was 33 and just fall in love with it.
Again, Del Griffith could be an entire podcast. I just think that character was, I feel John Candy in that character when I watch that movie.
So number 3, I thought about changing it, but I got to stay true to my list. I also have Ferris Bueller at the number 3 spot. I love this movie. I think any kid can relate to, you know, trying to pull the old, I'm sick, I don't feel good, I'm going to stay home and just have that day off of school. I mean, I pulled it probably twice a year, about a month into school, and then right before school got out, I would pull the old, I don't feel good, Mom, and start fake puking and just stay the whole day just watching movies and ordering pizza. And she get home, be like, did you eat? I'm like, yeah, I had like a peanut butter jelly sandwich. I'm all right. And I would just hide the box. And yeah, this movie inspired all of that. I didn't get to go out on town because I didn't have a car at that age. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you, JD. I think it's good at number 3. It could be higher on my list, but I'm not mad at that choice. So let's keep going along. So we'll go to number 2. We're getting to the top of the list here. JD, what do you have at number 2?
Ooh, it's getting very, very, very dicey, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Just looking at everything, and I hate... I hate the fact that I have to exclude anything from this list. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to drop Uncle Buck. For me, it was a pivotal movie in my childhood. Uncle Buck was sort of that estranged uncle who came to solve problems and was larger than life. And I had an uncle like that who actually just recently passed away.
Yeah, sorry to hear that.
It's, you know, it is what it is. He's like we're talking about a few weeks ago. And he was always that Uncle Buck character that would, he would crack your toes, but he would also make you the best grilled cheese sandwich you can ever have. So you love to hate him. And so, you know, Uncle Buck for me was always that larger than life character in that film that I just will always respond to in that manner.
Okay. I love the pick. Chris, what do you have at number two?
It's tough, but I think I'm going to go with Drill Bit Taylor.
Ooh.
under his alias of Edmund Dante.
I was super excited to hear your reasoning.
No.
Explain yourself, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And that's the end of tonight's episode.
Like, well, I had to do something considering that it was a Kyle that didn't see
Plane
Trains on Film until 2018.
It's me. Guilty.
Yeah. So, number two, I'm going to go with Ferris Bueller. Okay. For all the reasons you guys said and more. And because the quote, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop to look around once in a while, you can miss it. It's just what I try to live by, and it's really why I'm doing what I'm doing now, because it does move really fast, and you have some experiences in life that teach you that. And I just think it's a phenomenal quote that will live forever.
Hey, can I share a quick story about running into Alan Ruck? So yeah. I went on vacation with the family to California. And we were in Los Angeles, and we went down to, they have like this big, like farmer's market type of deal. And there's all these restaurants and stuff that you can go shop at there. And we were up in the parking garage about to get on the elevator to go down. And I'm literally wearing a Ferris Bueller t-shirt. I look over next to the elevator, and it's Alan Ruck standing there. And I start like hitting my wife. She's like, what? What? I'm like, Cameron Fry. I'm wearing the fucking t-shirt. And she's like, say hi to him. I'm like, no, I'm wearing the t-shirt. I can't say hi to him. Damn it. Like, I was just regretting my choice. Like, he's going to be like, oh my God, this guy tracked me down. He's wearing the stupid t-shirt. He's making a big deal out of it. So I said nothing to the guy. I don't want to be that guy that, you know, he's with his like small child too. So I just, you know, we let him get on the elevator. I waited for the next one, but that's my run-in with the cast of Ferris Bueller. I'd like to meet Matthew Broderick. I feel like he'd be a cool guy to have a beer with.
You could have at least just dropped as you're walking out of the elevator that, you know, something like, have a good day, Cameron. Something like that. You may have appreciated it. You know,
I feel like
torn off your shirt and suplexed him.
Yeah. You never know what's going to happen. He could have been like, oh, really, asshole? And then the doors closed. And I'm like, oh, no. He just called me an asshole. So that, I always find it better just to say nothing. Okay, so I number two pick, I love it. Man, it almost makes me angry to realize that me and JD probably have the same 3-2-1 pick, because I also have Uncle Buck at number two. Almost for the exact same reasons as I have an uncle, nickname is Bear, who's like the spitting image of John Candy. Big, lovable guy, has been a bachelor most of his life, you know, is always the cool uncle that would take you to do stuff. He would totally be the guy to make a giant, like, 45-inch pancake and flip it over with a shovel. And also punch out the drunk idiot that would come to the party dressed as a clown to perform in front of a bunch of kids. He would definitely be that guy that flattened his nose. So that is my reasoning behind my number two pick. JD, I hope you don't have the same number one. Okay, but let's recap real quick. Number five, you started with Mr. Mom. Number four, you went to Weird Science, then you went to Ferris Bueller, then you copied my choice again with Uncle Buck. What do you have at number one? Don't say what I think you're going to say.
It has to be.
So,
do you want to say it for me, Kyle?
The Breakfast Club.
Seriously? You guess that's my number one?
It is.
I think it's going to be Plane, Trains, and Automobiles.
Home Alone!
No way! Okay.
It has to be Home Alone. Home
Alone.
We have
a different list. I'm happy.
Home Alone for us that were born in the late 80s or mid 80s, you know, like this is the definitive go kid, you can do this movie. Like you can overcome anything. Like this is the pro everything is possible. You can overcome and outsmart two career criminals and get a gold toot out at the end of it. It has to be Home Alone. Like Home Alone is out of all of John Hughes's movies, the one that I will watch every single year.
Okay. I respect the fact that you're going with the one you watch the most. I like that.
Okay. It has to be for me and the video games and you cannot beat the Home Alone video game for NES.
I'm just struggling to believe you didn't even put The Breakfast Club on your list.
I told you this is a hard list.
It's a tough list. Okay.
This is like masturbating 5 times and saying the 6th time you can't.
What?
I mean to say dollar bills. Wistful. Wistful.
All right. All right. So, Chris, you started with Uncle Buck. You went to 16 Candles. Then we pulled up to the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And then you went to Ferris Bueller. What do you have at number one?
Number one, you guys probably know this one based on our earlier conversations, but by far The Breakfast Club for me. For so many reasons. I again, one that you could probably do an entire podcast on, but I think that the whole concept of the movie, the idea that these characters will be in every high school hundreds of years after we're gone, it will never change. There will always be one of those five characters, or all of those five characters, I'm sorry, in a movie. The way that they interact with each other, the dialogue, it's just an absolutely brilliant movie, and how they all come around to each other, which I think is the really big part of that movie that people sometimes overlook because the individual characters were so incredible. But the idea that at the end, they've all kind of come together. These are five kids that would have never looked the other way. You know, don't you forget about me. You know, you're going to walk on by when you see me in the hallway. And that they've come around to appreciate and respect each other and understand their differences. I think it should be shown in every high school forever.
I love it. So we'll come back because I want to get your opinion on one thing. So I started with The Great Outdoors. I went to the Vacation franchise, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Uncle Buck. I'm also going with The Breakfast Club is my number one choice. I just feel like if you're talking about John Hughes movies and this one doesn't come to mind right away, then you may not be a very big John Hughes fan. No offense, JD. Actually, take major offense to that. I just don't know how you can't put this one at the top of the list. This is like his defining movie, in my opinion. And I relate to it so much, though.
I don't disagree. Again, it's try to compare delicious apples to delicious apples. Like, there's only five that we can include. I'm the sociopath that is all five of the individuals in the room. Yeah. Kyle, how many Saturday schools have you ever had?
I had zero. I actually never got in trouble.
I had so many.
The principals
and they never turned
me
out like this.
Okay, and that's kind of what I wanted to get to. So you say you're kind of all five. Chris, which one of The Breakfast Club do you think you would relate to the most?
That's what I really love about The Breakfast Club, is that I think in some ways most of us can relate to every character. Sure. If you think about the ones, if people that were just a criminal or an athlete or a brain, we only saw what they, and this is what they say. This is what's so brilliant about John Hughes and The Breakfast Club, is that he knew how to tap into that teen angst and what it felt like to be a teenager for all of us. And the idea that we only see what you want us to see. And they even see that and say that in the movie. And I think there's a lot of people in high school where they say, well, I was an athlete, or I was a criminal, or I was this or that, but there was only what they wanted us to see. So I think there were probably a lot of athletes that played Dungeons and Dragons. You know, I mean, there were probably a lot of princesses at school who had, you know, really struggled with self-confidence when they were at home. And, you know, that's the whole basket case thing. And so I think there was probably a lot of people who were an athlete that were a criminal that really were actually very smart, but they didn't want to show that side of them. So it's hard to say. I think all of us could be part of each one of those characters.
Yeah, I would definitely be Andrew Clark, but a mixture of some of the other guys too, because I wasn't just an athlete. I also was in a rock band, and I was doing backyard wrestling. Like I'm this giant movie nerd. So there's bits and pieces of me that are Andrew Clark, but also a little bit of Brian Johnson in there. So if Brian Johnson would have been an athlete, not a mathlete.
I had some Brian Johnson too, because I actually, our project in Woodshop was to make a napkin holder that was in the shape of a whale. And my mom still has it on our kitchen table to this day. And that thing can't hold more than two napkins. It's awful. It doesn't look like a whale. I don't know what the hell it looks like, but it's not a whale.
Free Willy.
And I think the teacher just gave me a D because he felt bad that I was so bad at Woodshop. But yeah, she still proudly displays it on our kitchen table, which is just, every time I go home, I'm like, Mom, why do you still have this here? So, well, you made it. I'm like, but it's awful. It's really terrible. So, yeah.
All right. That wraps up the list. Let's get to a couple honorable mentions and we'll wrap this thing up. JD, had you made some changes to your top five? Give me like two or three movies you wanted to put in there, but you just couldn't.
Obviously, it would have to be The Breakfast Club, and it would have to be the vacation movies. Like, John Hughes just nails it in both of those.
Yes.
And to echo everything that you both have said, he's a master of creating that sort of well-rounded character that can fit into any situation. And I think that, especially with The Breakfast Club, you can almost imagine it as a sort of split type movie, or the kind of thing where we can imagine it's one character that has every element of where he feels pulled in a social setting in high school. Because let's face it, at any given time, you could be the jock, you could be the brain, you could be the backyard wrestler, you could be the punk rocker, you could be the thief, you can be the lover. Like, it just depended on what circle you ran in. And I appreciate and love that.
Awesome. Okay, Chris, what was your honorable mention list?
Yeah, so I realized once I said Uncle Buck that I couldn't fit Weird Science into my top five. So I would put Weird Science as honorable mention, but probably a mistake on my part. And then I would say the other two that would really jump out to me would be Vacation and Pretty in Pink.
Okay. Yeah, I love the original Vacation movie. So good. Awesome. And then my last couple honorable mentions, I did have Home Alone as an honorable mention. I also had Weird Science. I do love that movie. I also do love me some Kelly LeBrock. So yeah, that was a tough one to leave off there. I hope she's doing well these days as I stalk her on Instagram. I mean, watch her on Instagram. She makes me whisper.
I miss Chet. I miss Bill Pullman.
Yeah.
Bill Paxton.
So good. He's the same man. We're telling you, we always mix it up. You just call him Bill Pullman, JD.
Yeah, Bill Paxton, I meant. Yeah. Yeah, Chet, man. That was a great character. Jeez.
I just love the name Chet. If I have another kid, I'm really pushing for Chet.
That's great. He'll wear a camo shirt and smoke a cigar. Perfect.
All right. Well, Chris, thanks again for joining us on the podcast. It's been really fun having you. We definitely want to do The Breakfast Club and get you on for one of our full episodes where we actually break down the movie like scene by scene.
I mean,
that would be an awesome episode to have you on. So we'll do that in the near future.
Perfect. So I'm in.
Maybe when you release book number two, we'll get you back on and do that one. Promote it.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm in for sure.
Awesome. Guys, make sure you're following Chris on Twitter. He's at 80s Pop Culture. You can also visit him on the web at chrisclues.com, where you can get a direct link to buy the book on Amazon. If you're interested in booking him for speaking engagements, I'm sure you can also email him through the website or DM him on Twitter. Chris, again, thanks for coming out, and we look forward to having you on for the Breakfast Club episode sometime in the near future, man.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys. This has been the best Monday night in years for me. Loving it.
Awesome.
Hello.
And then make sure you guys subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, CastBox. We're on social media at Back in Time Pod. I'm at KAutry29. JD is just burping as he tweets out every day at Unjust Justin. We don't know why he does it, but he continues to do it. And then you can also email us at backintimepodcast@gmail.com. If you have any good movie ideas, something you want us to cover, let us know. Other than that, we appreciate you guys hitting the download button and listening to another top five episode. We'll be back next week with an all new episode. See ya.
I burp because I care.